I'll be too nervous to. I'll probably lost for words.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lost Words Betting Podcast. I'm joined for the third and potentially final week, but Jason, you're back with us for the Players' Championship this week. It's been lovely to have you back on the last 3 weeks. Hopefully you've enjoyed it as well. And close but no cigar last week over the couple of events.
Yeah, Fisher Lawrence played well again, didn't he? He's class, but it wasn't quite enough. It was really good to see Manicero winning,
yeah,
obviously. Makes perfect sense. Lawrence played well. Van Tonder played well. Thomas Aitken played well in a lot of it, just not enough. Yeah. It was a good event for us, I think. I'd said it, it was just very, very interesting. We had St. Francis Links, a much more open course, the week before. It was one in 12 under. I know it should have been 14, but it was one in 12. And yet this week is supposed to have been a tighter track, and Manicero possibly makes that a bit of sense, and that's one in double the score. So yeah, what can you do? Lawrence, I think Lawrence is great. I think Lawrence is just carry on, do this throughout the whole year and get your PGA Tour card next year. And off he goes to do what his Weeden has done probably over there, I think, something like that. So yeah, it was all right, mate. Obviously in Puerto Rico we had Springer, who was played really well the whole week and would have been, you know, I mean, anybody who doesn't follow Ryan French Monday Q info, I can't remember now, on Twitter, he's missing a trick. He gives all the stories and stuff about people struggling, etc. Obviously, yeah, Bryce Garnett, who we actually put up about 20 times in past episodes of sort of Puerto Rico and Barracuda and all that, he's finally won again. But yeah, if you want the stories, Ryan's the man to follow. As I said, rather cruelly, I couldn't give a shit really, because it makes no difference to my life, whereas a winner does. So I don't quite mean it quite as brusquely as that. But, you know, end of the day, I don't make money out of stories. Sadly.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those. I think Fristan Lawrence is relishing the leading South African role on the tour, isn't he? With, you know, the likes of Grace and Burmester and Schwartzel and Oosthuizen and elsewhere. And George Coates here. I don't know what's happened to him. But yeah, he seems to be relishing that role, which is nice to see. As you said, not going to, you know, rehash the same thing. You covered who we've gone close with on those two events. And then Bay Hill, Jace, we've went close enough. And unfortunately, Hideki faded over the weekend, which you're pretty sure is due to his kind of injury problems.
Well, I'll be honest with you. For 2 days, I meant to look it up and I haven't. But I'm pretty sure they said that after the second round, he was saying that he wasn't feeding his back. So it makes sense. I was going to slag him off for his fourth round because it was pretty shite. But if he was feeling something, then fair enough. He said it before the tournament as well. And I was hoping if he was feeling something, he'd withdraw. But he was there all the way, and he played very, very well in parts. But you're not going to beat, you're not beating Scottie Scheffler like this at the moment.
It's interesting with the Scottie Scheffler thing, isn't it? Because everyone's, you know, rightly said, if he keeps putting like this, you're not going to beat him. And that has rung true. I think he's gained 4 strokes putting 6 times in his career, and every single time he has, he's won. But it's not going to happen, is it? So what are we looking at? How many times do we think he can do that in a season? 3 times, maybe?
I think he'll win more.
Interesting. So no player has ever defended the Players' Championship, which I think is quite a remarkable stat, actually. And you have to go back to 2008, I think it was, maybe even 2005, for the last time a player has actually finished inside the top 10 after, you have to go back to 2005 for the last defending champion to finish inside the top 10 the next year, which is quite remarkable, really. The best finish by a defending champion tied for fifth place, which has happened 3 times many moons ago. What do you think it is, Jace? Is it just completely coincidental? Is there something to trying to defend the Players' Championship? Because it's almost the same as, like, you don't get back-to-back winners at the Masters, etc. Is it just that the added pressure? Is it the type of golf course that is volatile? What do you think it would be as best?
Yeah, case? Possibly. I can't answer that question. Obviously, pre-2019, you had Bermuda.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes things a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah.
I mean, even Rory said it when he won in 2019. He said it was a, you know, it was a much more predictable course. I know it's difficult. I'm not knocking that, but when you consider it, you know, Tiger's two wins are 12 years apart. That tells you quite a lot in itself, I think. I think so, but I think it's the move to. I know Rory slagged off the schedule last year when he, all this elevated, you know, whatever events. He had a go at it last year, but then he had more of a go because he was shit final round, wasn't he? I would say that the position it is now, straight after Bay Hill, which has a significance in terms of form, and the fact that it's not Bermuda, I think this is not easier to win. But I certainly think if you're the best player in the world, then it's not difficult to win it again.
I guess the other thing is just the move to March has seemed to just elevate it for favourites, hasn't it?
If you're out of form. You're out of form. And if you played Bay Hill when you're out of form, it's going to be very difficult for 3 days later to get it back for Sawgrass. Whereas before they were, you know, months apart. There's still a massive link between them. I just wonder. I just think we said it when we interviewed, or we didn't say it. David Horsey said it way back in 2020 when we interviewed him. He said, you're working on things, but you can't do it in 3 days.
Right.
You're flying. You've got the, I mean, certainly this lot anyway. You've got press, you've got this, you've got that, you've got people watching. You haven't got time to go away and sort your driving out, irons out, short game out, whatever it is. And certainly not enough to come through from, you know, playing very average to winning a Players. So that's potentially what will happen, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think just it makes perfect sense that the shorter amount of time and the lead into it is going to affect things, isn't it? I mean, you look back to... Martin Keimer in 2014, and he was struggling for a long time, wasn't it? And all of a sudden wins this, and then a couple of months later wins the US Open. And I think we can probably see a similar type of trend with someone winning this and then contend at the Masters, so where they are on the schedule. So it's certainly an interesting pointer, I think, this week. Scottie Scheffler, with all that said, now into, I mean, what price is he? 11-2 best price. Rory McIlroy next at 16s. Xander Schauffele 22, Thomas 22, Hovland 25. Is there too much of a gap between Scheffler and Rory? I don't think there is. I think the way that Scheffler's playing suggests that he should be that much shorter. But I think the conversation last week was there was a bit too much of a gap between them, and then Rory obviously didn't quite do what he needed to.
I think there's an argument for saying that it's there's a huge difference there. Equally. Scheffler's just imperious at the moment. He plays a course, he can play. His figures, as we all know, are absolutely remarkable. He's probably the straightest golfer I've ever seen. I mean, if that pro tracer thing is correct, it doesn't ever deviate, you know. And that's, it's just a remarkable. He's always had it, as we've discussed for years.
Yeah.
He's always had that ability, just never finished it off. There's a, you know, he's just the best player in the world. He knows he's the best player in the world. He's got a great caddy. And I wonder if Rory McIlroy had been in this sort of form, what price would he be? I think he'd be shorter. I think he'd be 9-2. And I think that you have to back Scotty, even as a cover, even if you want half your money back, whatever.
Yeah.
I think you have to. I don't think 11-2 is a horrendous price, to be honest. He's just imperious. I mean, strokes gained approach, look at the, I mean, I'm not counting pre-2019,
of
course, in effect. But strokes gained approach, Scotty was fourth last year, Cam Smith fifth, JT fifth, Rory sixth when they won. And you just look at what he's doing, you know. He's on tour tips, obviously. But he's the last, what is that, last seven, so since the century, which actually is involved in Cam Smith's form lines. 2022, he won the century. 2021 JT was third, and Rory was fourth in the century in 2019. So even when you go back to the right at the beginning of the season, he's gone 255, 133, 12. Right, 33 was Genesis, which is a bit more punishing. It's remarkable. He's been in the top five for greens in reg five times this year at six events. He's now putting. It's just remarkable. If Rory was doing this, it'd be absolute exploding all over the place. I'm not saying it's going to make you rich, but I don't see how you can leave him out.
It's so strange, isn't it, that it's taken Rory McIlroy to tell him to change to a mallet putter for him to change to a mallet putter. I can't work out if that is just, it's as simple as that and now we're all doomed, or that is just, I don't know. I mean, Brad Faxon was there, wasn't he, working with him and things like that? I don't know. It's a tough one to really unravel.
Well, I'm glad he's done it, I think, because his play deserves more than what he was getting. Those final rounds where he was losing like four shots on the greens was not very nice to watch. I like Scotty, I think he's all right. And I'd much prefer he did that than do what Zalatoris has done. And that fucking putt. Sorry to swear, but Christ almighty, I could bend that around your neck. I think it's a disgusting piece of equipment. But anyway, there we go. I was cheering him to get beat over the weekend because I just think it's a disgrace. And don't get me started on Wyndham Clark's caddy, virtually putting it with an iron for him. Anyway, we're not going there. So we won't go there. So, Scotty Scheffler, I think you've got to be on it, haven't you, too? I don't blame anyone from lumping on online on the exchanges. But I'm getting, for him to cover or win 10% on your overall stake, at some point you have to be on him. And I don't think it's going to take much for him to shorten up, to be honest.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right. I think anyone, would you be looking at him for the Masters yet? Or are you waiting?
Well, you're looking for everything if you want. I listened back to last year's one, funnily enough, preview of this, and Scotty was 40-1, I believe, for the US Open. As he was playing. Yeah, I know. I'm not sure I was right, but I think Hills was still 40-1. Maybe I was drunk at the time. I don't know, but that's apparently what I said. Do I think? Yeah, I think you can look at Scotty for whatever you want. I think. Yeah, you can look at him for the US Open, you can look at him for the Masters, whatever you like, mate. He's tee to green game is unbelievable. And if he can hit a sixpence, then Augusta's right up his street, isn't it? Because, as I say, he's got the right caddy now, hasn't he? The sky's the limit. I mean, he's not Tiger Woods or anything, but I'll tell you what, if Tiger was doing this, in his pomp, and he was, to be honest, the world was going mental. So
that was the other discussion someone brought up, is that it's a good job Scotty Scheffler wasn't around when Tiger was in his pomp.
Tiger made these players, that's the point.
These
players exist,
or
a lot of them exist because of Tiger.
I also think
that's why Tiger is the greatest.
I think also a bit of a recency bias, though, because it's very easy to forget how good David DeVoe was at the very, very top, how good Vijay Singh was at his very, very pomp. And I still, he's contending with Phil Mickelson for all those years. I don't think you can diminish. It was almost a case of if Scheffler was playing when Tiger was around, he wouldn't win as half as much, as sort of thing. And I don't think it's quite that extreme, but that was kind of the suggestion I saw. And I thought, I don't buy that. I think Woods had the whole package, didn't he? The putter was there. It wasn't an issue.
I think the thing with Scotty now is that when he's in front, he presses on. And I thought about this the other day, and it reminded me of Phil Taylor, when Phil Taylor was dominating darts. A bit Tiger-esque, really, in his field. He brought the sport to another level. He never let it go. He never, ever eased up in front. Tiger was a completely different player. You just knew that when he needed a 30-footer, he was doing it.
Yeah.
When he needed a birdie from behind a tree, somehow he did it. Scotty now has got to the point whereby if he's in front, he's just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And it's bullying from the front, and it's a really, really excellent display. And he's a very, very impressive player now.
It just puts immediate pressure on, doesn't it? When you're already in front, even if you're co-leader as he was, being in front and then just hitting the ball like that, it's just so relentless. Even if you miss a couple of putts, you think he's always going to have another chance in the next hour. It's just...
Doesn't look worried, does he? Doesn't look worried. And now you're not worried about him holding a four-footer, which was the whole Scottish Sheffield thing for a season, basically. So I don't want to go over the top about him, because, you know, nobody will ever be Tiger. But what he's doing at the moment, in context of what everybody else is doing, you know, you look at someone like Hovland, whose short game is just like gone again. I think he's rated 127th in strokes gained approaches over the last 8 weeks of him. You know, Decky is injured. Sorry, go back to actually what I'm talking about. Decky's injured. Aberg's first go here, obviously. Rory, you know. Jordan, you don't know what he's going to do. JT showed bits last week. I just think, where's your negative about Scottish Sheffield? I can't find one. Can't find one.
16 out of 16 from inside 15 feet on Sunday. Now, that just isn't sustainable. That is impossible to sustain, I think. Yes. So that's where the progression is going to come. But he doesn't need to be that good, does he? That's the difference.
It's just interesting what he does, as we say, when he's actually in contention.
Yeah.
He's just doing it now, you know. Final rounds of four-round tournaments since the start of the year, 66, 65, 66, 68, 66. There's Sunday rounds, you know.
Sorry, mate, I've lost you there.
He's by far the greatest player in the world, by miles.
Can you repeat that last 30 seconds?
At some point, the run's going to stop, obviously. It can't go on forever. But at the moment, he is by far the greatest player in the world. And he should be treated as such.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. Let's move on then. We're not betting Scottish Sheffield as our main picks. You are suggesting to cover him. But ultimately, let's get on to our favourite outright picks. I'm starting with Max Homer, Jason, which I didn't think I was going to do on the East Coast. I thought if I was going to bet Max Homer, it'd be on the West Coast. But looking at his player's form, he obviously missed the cut on his first start, which a lot of people do at TPC Sawgrass. And then final round 66 on his penultimate start, he finished 13th because of that. And then last year, slow start, opening rounds of 72 in rounds 1 and 2, and then 67, 69 weekend to finish 6th. Really impressive back-to-back starts now at the players for Max Homer. And even in the weeks where he's sort of been disappointed with his finishes, 14th at the Century, 13th at Torrey Pines, 16th at Riviera, which, to be fair, are disappointing results based on what we've come to expect from Max Homer. He's then gone to finish 8th and was really upbeat about his game with his coach and things like that. I just think when you've got question marks about Xander, the way Rory's playing, Hovland, as you already referenced, with the ball striking, can't they completely ejected last week? I think Max Homer fits in quite nicely here as steady with room to improve. So at 25 to 18 places, I'm going to take the quality that Max Homer possesses.
I did have Homer down when I watched him over the weekend. I did have him down here. I just worried about his iron game at the moment. Otherwise, apart from that, and the fact that I think you need to be spot on with your irons this week, I like him. He was on the list, but because of the price and because of what he's doing with his irons, I left him out. But I'm not arguing with that.
Yeah, let's give us your leading selection then, mate, for the week. Similar sort of prices, 35, 40 to 1 for Shane Lowry.
Yeah, I was up and down with Lowry because I don't back him an awful lot, to be honest with you. He's also might be a little bit out of the way in the world rankings because you tend to find top 10 players win here. Certainly the last four times you've had Rory was ranked 6 coming in, JT 3rd, Cam 10th and Scotty was 2nd. But he's in such good form around a course that I think should work for once.
Yeah.
For him. I know you've got certain reservations because there's so much water. But let's look into it. I mean, his form is in waves and tides. Strokes gained approach. It's on. Look, you can all see it. You know what I mean? His strokes gained approach last twice, 7th and 2nd. Greens in reg, 6th and 3rd. Obviously, they're both in Florida. They include last week at Bay Hill when conditions weren't easy. Seated greens are great. Driving accuracy is up there. Last 3 years here, obviously, he's gone 8th, 13th, and 35th. it looks like it's getting progressively worse, but obviously last year opened up in 77 and then came back. I actually thought he was gone over the weekend. I thought when he made back-to-back bogeys on Saturday, I think it was, I thought he was pretty much gone, but he fought back. He really enjoyed playing alongside Scotty. Looked particularly happy to me. Pete Dye form, and obviously the lines that you have to take off tees, etc. He sort of learned River Highlands as he went along. Now a reasonably experienced traveller, if you like. 19th last year around there, two rounds of 64, two rounds of 69. Heritage, he's got a third in 22, ninth in 21. So he hits some with some really serious form. Florida Honda, he's got second, fourth and fifth. With that fourth just a couple of weeks ago. So he's in flying form. It's a week after he's played really well around a course that has connotations. Obviously, Scotty's won both. Rory's won both. Jason Day's won both. Till Hatton's won Bay Hill and been second at the Players. I thought to myself, I don't know what price I want to take him, but 33-1, 8 places there was. And I thought the way he's playing and with doubts, as we've already said, about some of them in front of him, I thought he was absolutely fine to take. So it's Lowry for me.
I think the really important note you made there was the bounce back. So it was on Sunday, I think it was a couple over through nine holes, and I sort of looked at it because I tweeted out just before the final round sort of saying, you know, it'd be some story of, you know, Lowry is getting criticised for sort of chucking away the Cognizant Classic, and then all of a sudden comes to Bay Hill where he's been, you know, quite frankly shite, and then goes on to win it. And he didn't. And then he was three over through seven holes, I think, on Sunday. And I just thought, okay, well, that's kind of what we've expected from Shane Lowry at the moment. Disappointing in front. And then all of a sudden, he rallies off those three birdies between the 9th and 16th. And you think, okay, fair enough. Like, you've not completely disgraced yourself again in the final round. Scheffler's completely pulled away, so there's no keeping up with that. And I think it goes back to your point about like how relentless Scheffler is in contention. It's just almost impossible to look good in contention with him when he's on. I have concerns, not so much that I think he's just gonna, you know, he will just, he's a magnet to water. It's not something, but I just think with someone that's struggling to get over the line at the moment under a pressure situation with water everywhere, I'd be slightly concerned. The only idea I've got in my head, do you remember Ricky Fowler was getting loads of stick, wasn't he, about not being able to close, and there was rumours about Players saying he didn't have the bottle and all this sort of stuff, and all of a sudden he went and won the Players' Championship. Whether Lowry has that, I don't know if Lowry has that kind of chip on his shoulder. But if he does, then it would be quite poetic if he were to come and win a TPC Sawgrass.
I don't think Lowry has any particular. No. I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same. I think Lowry gets annoyed with himself. I don't think he gets annoyed at the situation.
Others. Yeah.
That's just my view anyway. I mean, what do I know? It's one that I sometimes balk at. I just felt that, you know, it was fair. I thought even placed, I thought for 8 places, 33 was pretty good considering what he's done. I'm not saying it was not a dismissive price, but you know, Morikawa, I'm not totally convinced about. We discussed Salatoris already. Jordan, I don't know what he's going to do. Decky looks injured to me.
Yeah.
And Aberg, this is his first run, despite obviously his obvious chance. I thought it was a very fair, fair price, and I thought he stood out, but he certainly was one that I think I have to be with. So I am.
It's just with Lowry, his career has just been, he was so brilliant after 54 holes for so long, and now he hasn't been. I just don't know if it's a regression to the mean or there is a problem. I mean, Abu Dhabi sticks out in my mind from last year. He was the co-leader and then shot a 76 on Sunday, finished 28th, and that's by far his worst attempt ever in contention. Irish Open, he wins as an amateur, being a 54-hole leader. US Open, he's 4 shots clear, loses by 3, but that's his first ever major contention. I think you can forgive that. Turkish Airlines Open 2017, he loses by 5 in the end. But Abu Dhabi, 54-hole leader, wins. Open, 54-hole leader, wins. Wentworth, it was only 3 rounds, but he wins. And then Yeah, it's just the last three events. Abu Dhabi, Connors and Classic and Arnold Palmer. But you're betting 33-1 or 35-1 or whatever about a player that's been the 54-hole leader in his last two events.
I think he needs it to get more difficult. I think when he's in contention, he won't be inconvenienced by difficulty. Take the favourite aside. There are others that may well suffer. But yeah. 33, one man's 33 is another man's not 33. And, one man's bet is not another man's. So I'll bet him to continue his little run. There we are. There's not a lot I can do about it.
There we go. Next bet, both of us agree on. Sam Burns. I've bet Sam Burns for the Masters. Spoiler alert. I've backed him at, I think he was 50-1 at the time. I felt like I was looking at the value of the market and seeing who was kind of out of place, and he kind of stuck out to me. I thought, but I know he's struggled in major to get into major contention so far in his career, but hot starts of the season, 6th, 10th, 3rd and 10th in 4 of his last 5 starts, finishes 30th last week. You'd have hoped for better, but he was 4th after round 1, 10th after round 2 and 8th after round 3. Just had a really poor Sunday. I just think Burns is nicely positioned in this market, 40-1, 8 places, about a player that is actually rapidly improving at this golf course. Pretty similar to Max Homa, absolutely awful in his debut here, 81-76 in 2021. Then all of a sudden comes right back in 2022, 36-hole leader, second after 54 holes, bad final round. And then last year, opened really nicely at the 68, 5th after round 1, 20th after round 2, poor weekend. So there's this sort of suggestion that he needs to figure out how to play 4 rounds here. But I think people can figure that out after a couple of knocks around TPC Sawgrass. I think that he just has that it factor. You're not going to go on to his ball striking very often and see him as this leader in the way that you do Scotty Scheffler dare I say it, someone like a Tom Hoagie at the moment that he's going to ball strike the course to death. But he just has something about him, Jason, where I believe that if he gets himself in the mix, he can get over the line at 40-1, 8 places. I thought that was plenty enough.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't go lower than 40, but I just thought the figures made perfect sense. I think he's got an early tea time today as well, isn't he? Sorry, Thursday.
I haven't got that far, but yeah, I think...
I believe so, and he's opened up 68 twice. I looked at it, Tom, to be honest. I thought his peak dive form is remarkable. 22 events, 2 wins at the Valspar, 4 top 10s, 5 top 20s, and then I actually backed Burns at 70-1 last year, which is why I balked at this. I know there's some players missing, but so he beat Keegan Bradley, obviously. I'm not sure if you're putting him up this year. You normally do on this sort of thing, but anyway.
Yeah,
beat Keegan, obviously, at Valspar. Keegan's got 2 top 10s and 16th here. But when Casey won twice at the Valspar, he had 3rd and 5th round here. And there's just things. Oh, sorry, yeah, when Casey did win, he beat Coke Crack, Ustase and Reed and Tiger, all the players for. So there must be something in the Valspar for whatever it is. Obviously, same location, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right, yeah, there's 3 goes here. First and second, I think, in the first 2 rounds in 2022, was he?
Yep.
Then 5th, 20th in 23. Yeah. So, yeah, I just thought there was something. My only concern is that he's obviously so Bermuda positive that the move to changing the grass is potentially a negative. So he's not a major play for me, but there was enough there, I thought. And there was a lot out last week as well. To be fair, that he faded away, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was doing something. But I also think Sam Burns might be the type of player that really bothered when he can't win.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a bit of a concern. But 40-1, I thought was fair. Yeah, I'll go along with you.
2019 Heritage, 2022 player, 2024 Amex. He's been going into the Sunday within 3 shots of the lead. That, like all those Pete Dye courses, you mentioned the Florida link with Copperhead and the 2 wins there. Like, I just thought there was plenty enough to be encouraged about Sam Burns, who I thought stuck out a little bit amongst the others in that range. We've mentioned I did want to be with Hideki, and long term, I think I'm back on board with Hideki for the long term. But if we are concerned about his injury, I'm going to be taking.
I think you're better off betting him for the majors and taking the chance.
Yeah, I agree. I looked at Minwoo Lee in this range, interestingly, for 50-1, 8 places. The only slight concern was did a lot of it with short game last year around here. His actual approach play wasn't very good at all. He impressed enough that he healed last week. I don't think it's, of course, he's played well at before, so the fact that he made the cut and was around was interesting enough, but didn't get there in the end. So give us your next pick in this range, Jess.
Well, he was, when I'd done this on Saturday morning, he was actually my first pick, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah.
He was actually my first pick based on his strokes gained approach, based on where he is in the world. He's in the top 12. I think he still is now, actually, the top 13, whatever they've jigged it around after that. His obvious form, it is only last week's abject performance that I thought to myself, I don't know, he's just put me off. But, you know, I'm quite happy that Tommy can get rid of that, to be honest with you. I don't think he's particularly worried. Yeah, look, again, it's obvious. Seventh in the players in 2018. Fifth when the course changed in 2019. 2023, third at the Valspar. I believe it was third at the AP in 2019 as well. And we just know what Fleetwood is. If it's a difficult track, Fleetwood can play it really, really well. Again, the one image is him coming off of the Scottish Championship and Scottish Open.
Yeah.
Absolutely soaked and saying the harder it is, the better. So, you know, we want it hard if we want Tommy to do it. We know he's had a million chances to win over there. We understand that. But then you're getting a bigger price, I think, than what he probably should be. Again, you know, you can use tour tips, you can use whatever facility you want. He led the greens in reg at Wentworth. He led the greens at reg at Dubai Creek, which is probably the most narrow of the desert tracks, I think, that we played. Correct me if I'm wrong. When he did miss, he was great with the short game. And it's just getting that. It's just him feeling comfortable from tee to green that will get him there. 10th at Genesis, which is fine. Just last week, wasn't it? Everything's there. His Florida form's there, I think, bits and pieces. He's got that couple of bits of form. Obviously, last year was 27th, but he finished with a 76. He was there. Look, he's on the list, and I can't do anything about the list. The list says back in. So that miscut, I'm just going to have to sort of tip X out, and then his form looks a bit better, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. It's a really bad last appearance on here, but he was my first. I think I texted you straight away on Saturday that he was the one that stood out, and he fucked it up by doing what he did at Bay Hill. So whatever.
It's just those individual rounds down there, isn't it? The seventh and the fifth he's got here. You know, he's 36 hole leader when he was fifth, 22nd and 27th last two times, and he's been better placed again, first round leader 2 years ago. Fourth after 54 holes last year. So plenty to like about Fleetwood. I just, the duo of Shane Lowry and Tommy Fleetwood on the
I know, it's really bad, isn't it? It's really, I mean, I looked at people like, I mean, to be honest, I looked at Henley, but I'm not backing him at that price, et cetera, et cetera. So it was just, Jason Day, I wasn't impressed with last week. I was in position. And I'm just sort of, you know, struggled after that. But I'd say Fleetwood was the first name in the book. But, you know, hopefully he just leaves last weekend behind, and then I think his claims are a bit clearer.
I do think he's someone that he's got a short memory and can come out far, and I'm not too concerned about that. It's just the winning aspect. But there we go. We've had that discussion with Lowry, and it's the same with Fleetwood, I think. So they're both good enough to win anywhere. They just need to do it again. Brian Harman, my next pick, 50-1, 8 places. Played well at TBC Sawgrass over the years. Loves Pete Dye courses, world number 9, most recent major winner, and he's 50-1, 8 places. He was 66-1 when I wrote up the odds checker article last night, but coming on the UK side of things. 12th at Bay Hill, which I thought was really impressive for him. He's actually the 36th hole leader as well. Not a course that I would necessarily expect him to relish. Third in strokes gained approach last week, 9th in strokes gained tee to green. Best irons he's had since the match play last year. 3 top 8 finishes here. 3rd in 2021 is best. And the correlative form stands out. 5 top 10s in 6 years at the Travellers. 3rd and 6th at the Wyndham, which I love. 3rd and 8th at the Amex. 7th, 7th and 9th at the RBC Heritage. Harman is playing well enough now on courses that don't suit him. So when he gets back to one, I'm immediately interested. And at 50-1, 8 places, I'll take a major winner, albeit what you think about him. 50-1, 8 places on a suitable course, on a Pete Dye. where his irons can come to fruition, I'm all over Brian Harman.
Can't argue with you, mate. I'm not interested in back. I don't believe he can win. So I am going to put Harman in as a top 20. I think he can get 5-2.
Yeah.
I think he's very fair, given some of them above him. Again, I'm labouring the century point a little bit. I know obviously you've got your Bay Hill connection, you've got a Wyndham connection, and you've got century connection that we've already discussed earlier.
Yeah.
The Wyndham win thing is quite interesting because you can look for a player like Webb, like Kisner, and you get that Harman type of vibe, didn't you, as well, to me anyway.
Yeah.
He was fifth at the century. And there were three that I couldn't choose between that I told you about earlier. There were Jordan Spieth, Brian Harman, Sahith Theegala. Theegala, I think, is just a bit too flamboyant to get it done around here. But he was obviously second at the century, much wider course, much longer. So Jordan was third, and Harman was fifth, actually tied with Scotty back then. So, yeah, I'm putting him in the top 20 because I can't argue with something that you said probably about 20 minutes ago before my internet went down.
Look, I just think he's just such a solid player, and I do think there's enough winning upside to take the each way on it. I think that, you know, I've learned not to discredit him. I mean, I'm obviously a little bit biased because of with him in the Open, but yeah, I'm happy to take a chance on Brian Harman. It's a good course for him and playing well last week. Next one for me, Tom Hoagie. We talk about people you're not necessarily believing can win. He might be on that list as well, 66-1, 8 places, but the ball striking is, I mean, phenomenal. I mean, he's actually ahead of Scottie Scheffler now, leading the tour in strokes gained approach. He's done that in two of his last three starts. He was also third in tee to green last week. So you can guess what kind of held him back when he was 12th at Bay Hill. But his 12th there last week was his best effort at that golf course. He finished third here last year after breaking the course record on Saturday for 62. Climbed up another five slots to I think it was... to the third place with a final round 70. And then even then, like last 2021, he led for the first two rounds and he was sixth after round one in 2019. So all put, Tom Hoagie's been brilliant here at Sawgrass, really, for the caliber of player we, you know, consider him to be. Second, sixth and 17th for the Amex as well, gives you a bit of Pete Dye form to add to that. As with any good thing, we expect this kind of iron play run to end, I think, with Hoagie, but I'm going to side with him until that does go, and I think at 6-6-1-8 places, there's enough value in here that I think he could ball strike the course to death for 3 days at least.
Well, Tom Hoagie owes us nothing, actually, does he? I'm here, no. I don't think. And obviously won the pairs competition with Theegala, who I think could go quite well. Yeah, can't argue with him, mate. He's one of them that. I mean, if Harman hadn't won the Open,
he'd
sort of be in the same category, I think.
Yeah.
Do you not think?
Yeah,
it's that type of player.
Whether I envision Tom Hoagie going on and winning the major, I don't know. But it's, I think so. I think he's one of those ones that we could get back in 3 or 4 years' time, realise that this is just what he does in terms of ball striking, and maybe he adds one more win to the list, and it's not the Players' Championship. But I just think the value's there enough with the 8 places to give him another go. So, going to go with Tom Hoagie. And then the final one for me, which I actually thought might be on your list, Jason, was Erik van Rooyen. I know you were on him in Florida at the Cognizant Classic where he was second. I didn't actually fancy him that week. I was on him at 40-1 in Mexico the week before where he was eighth. So, you know, eighth and second in those two starts. 25th at Bay Hill last week. Good enough to suggest he's still in form. And his one and only go round here was 13th. He was third after 36 holes, and he actually gained over 11 strokes on approach in his debut here 2 years ago. And somehow Russell Henley bettered that. But I was really impressed with that. You know, I don't expect him to go out and gain 11 strokes again on approach, but it's a good sign that he obviously loves the course from first look. And it's not a complete surprise, really. Twice he's gone into the final round with a chance to win at the RBC Heritage, one back going into Sunday in 2022. And then two back in 2021. Look, he didn't get the job done, but you add that to his second at the Cognizant a couple of weeks ago, 10th at the Valspar, 13th on debut here. Florida obviously looks a good place for him. I'm starting to think that the Erik van Rooyen is slowly creeping back to what we hoped he would be when he first broke through onto the PGA Tour. And he's obviously a winner again last year. 110 to 18 places, Jace. I'm happy to give Van Rooyen a go in his current form.
Yep.
Any negatives on him? Just don't think he can win?
potentially, the quality of the field. But yeah, I agree with you. He was on the Honda.
Yeah.
I can't see why he can't be placed. I don't see him winning, but you know, what does that mean, to be honest with you? You look at the type of player that's won. In fact, actually, if you look at the type of player that's won, and then you look at some like Lahiri, who played really well against Cam Smith a couple of years ago, he could be placed. I can't see him winning, but then you don't need to at that price. And he's playing well, and he's always been thought of as better than he's shown, and now he's doing what he wants to do. So, listen, I'm not arguing. Player that was second at Honda can play the wind and can play tricky track. So,
And I think the point you make is, you know, with Lahiri being one back of Cam Smith when he won, Westwood being one back of Justin Thomas when he won, you know, Tyrrell Hatton's obviously a class year opponent. He was five back of Scottie Scheffler, but even Furyk in his latter years being one straight behind Rory in 2019, like, you've not been far away from this type of winner, have you? So even with the change of quality and change of grass, change of year.
Yeah. I think, yeah, when you're looking at, you know, the top couple, I say we've got doubts about many of the top lot.
Yeah.
Scotty won't be outside the eight, I don't think, which leaves probably five places. And we've doubts about many of the top lot and a track that can start playing havoc if you're chasing too much.
Yeah.
Absolutely no reason why nobody, you know, an Eric Van Ruin can't come through. He's not exactly, you don't laugh at the selection, put it like that.
No.
You know, you can absolutely very easily see him placing here. Yeah.
One more bet that I thought was, you've got one more to mention, I've got one more to mention. I just think it's worth taking on Robert McIntyre in the top spot with Martin Laird at evens. A couple of decent finishes in recent starts for Martin Laird, ninth and tenth in back-to-back starts, obviously in, you know, weaker fields than this, but the ninth was obviously at the Cognizant Classic, which was in Florida, fourth after 54 holes, and then tenth last week in Puerto Rico, and he's got a couple of top tens at this golf course. So, you know, I don't know what McIntyre's suitability is to this golf course. He's only played it once and he missed the cut. And Laird's got a second and fifth on his radar. So although he's been terrible here in recent years, I think Martin Laird is an interesting one in that kind of market, if that's your bag. But give us a final top 20 shout, Jace, to close us off.
Yeah, I'm looking for a Webb Simpson-y type, Kisner type, Brian Harman type, and it is Aaron Rye. I know Ben put him up at 200, which actually is a freaking big price for a place, I think, given that the track really does look as though it's going to suit him. We all know that he's won, obviously, Scottish Open win. We've already discussed that, and Tommy in horrendous conditions really showed that he can beat the best. But you look at his driving, actually, he's always been like a magnificent tee to green player, really, really good iron player. And really, that's what it's to do with. Hasn't been amazing this year, but Mexico and Puerto Rico would have been smasheroonies, and he's not a smasheroonie. He likes to plot his way around and just to, you know, get their greens in reg, make his thing. So anything that's 20 under is, in this class, certainly won't be his bag. But, you know, he was second at Wentworth, which obviously does a job of him, second to Ryan Fox, who's not doing particularly great this year. I thought we'd do a bit better, to be honest. But anyway, second at Wentworth, behind a man that couldn't seem to miss his approach shots wherever his tee shot landed. He was tied top five after three rounds here last year. This is going to suit him a lot more. His driving accuracy is probably the best in the field, I would think. I didn't look it up, but I think his driving accuracy is probably the best in the field. His approaches, he's been top 10 at Qatar. He was 12th at Gary Player for the Nedbank. Third in Mexico doesn't, you know, I'll say it really counts, but the fact that he was third against some real bombers that would have had much shorter irons into the pins makes a lot. You know what? People wouldn't believe that he was one of the best short game players in the world, you know, not that long ago. So it's a bit worrying that his pattern has still failed to fire. But what will it matter here if he keeps finding greens? I'm not so sure. And I just thought it was a top 20 at 7-2. Makes a bit of sense, really. Yeah, Phoenix, obviously, he missed the cut, but second round was 65. And his third round in Mexico, three rounds in Mexico, 69 or under, as I say, in a bomber's field. He just looked, I thought, 200-1 was actually quite big.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think he can win unless it gets absolutely horrendous. But he's top 20. I can easily see him top 20 here. I mean, I know Poulter was of a different level, but Poulter's run up here, and there's plenty of case. Obviously, Till Hatton got that time. And they've got that sort of short game that will do well here, was I think Rye's just going to keep hitting greens and greens and greens.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I thought he was worth putting 70. I've got Harmon at top 20 at 5-2, Rye at 7-2. Yeah. So if one of them cops, it's a profit in that market. Like I said, this is probably one of those. It's a great tournament. I want to watch this tournament. I think it's going to be fantastic. But in terms of previewing, I think everybody feels exactly the same, so it's quite boring.
Aaron Rye dropped down from first to third in driving accuracy last week. He's a couple of percentage points, percentages behind Alexander Bjork and Ryan Moore to confirm he's right up there and hit the most fairways of anyone on the tour. I was surprised he got put up, to be honest, by Ben. And then when I looked it in further, you go into tour tips, opening round 65 in Sony, third after round one, 20th after round two. He did have that missed cut at the Amex, but final round 66 there before missing the cut. 33rd at the Farmers, 66, 70 to open, fourth after round one, seventh after round two. Did miss the cut at Phoenix, like you mentioned, but the second round 65. And yeah, he's just not. I think it is beyond him to even potentially contend, but the top 20, he's not got to do much improving from what he's doing right now. And as you said, certainly a suitable golf course for him. A little bit like in the mould, I guess, of Brian Harman, that if he's playing well at courses that don't suit and comes to one that he does, it could be huge for him. And fourth after 54 holes here last year. So inside the top 20 for three of the last four rounds. It's all good for Aaron Rye in this respect. I think that's it. Vanamaki mentioned about different grass types and things getting used to from DP World Tour to PGA Tour as well, which I'm sure Aaron Rye is struggling with, and that's obviously led to his short game woes. But Jay, should we summarise our picks for the Players Championship?
I meant to say as well, and I do know that Ben tipped is that Rye is local lad as well, Sawgrass.
Yes,
I've been wanting to put him up somewhere. But we put him up a couple of times last year, but this year it's been a struggle. But yeah, anyway, blah blah blah.
Absolutely. Let's summarise our picks, mate, for the Players Championship. It's been a long week already, and it's only Tuesday, which is quite frightening. Yes. So I'm going with Max Homer at 25-1, 8 places. Sam Burns at 40-1, 8 places. Brian Harman at 50-1, 8 places. Tom Hoagie at 66-1, 8 places. And Eric Van Rooyen at 110-1, 8 places. And taking on Robert McIntyre with Martin Laird and Top Scott Market at evens. Jason, your selections for the Players' Championship, please, mate.
I'm going to back Scotty to cover all stakes. Sam Burns each way, 8 places, 10 places, whatever, there's 12 places at some place, I think. So Sam Burns each way, Tommy Fleetwood each way, Brian Harman top 20, Aaron Rye top 20, and there's an awful joy in picking Shane Lowry as my number one bet each way at 33-1.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just to say that if you don't get this week's indie group and songs, there's no shame, but I'd like somebody to get it if they can.
So to confirm, we have had that reference that I've obviously missed.
You will not get it. I can 100%
okay
guess that you will not get it.
I mean, I'm pretty predictable.
I'm not having a go at you at all, but if you get the indie band and the songs, I'm going to be stunned.
There you go. So a testing indie band crossover for Jason's final stint in this 3-week run. Jace, great to have you on the last 3 weeks.
The last 2 weeks were better. I've been a bit shit tonight, but it's
fine. Well, look, it's been a horrendously busy day. You were prepared to do it yesterday. I wasn't able to do it yesterday. And everything's got pushed back, and technical difficulties make things a lot harder. So I don't think we need to be too hard on ourselves for this Players' Championship preview. Luckily, one event this week. Otherwise, I don't know quite how we would have coped. But there we are. Enjoyed having you back on, mate. Thank you very much for filling in, as ever. Always a reliable pair of... What are they? Lungs? Is that what you would say? A reliable pair of lungs when you were speaking?
That's not what people say when they listen to this.
Yeah, I don't care what other people say. That can go into reviews. As long as you film one.
I really don't want too much coverage of Wyndham Clark.